and we changed the cast. We rewrote a lot of the story. Lots of changes.
When did you know that you had something that, you know, we have been able to see on the TV show? Like, what was that moment where you're like, ah, I think we have the new kind of perfect version now?
Well, we did a series of public meetings. We got people together from the community, and we performed the show in front of them. And then we had input from people who were somehow tied into transgender issues, personally or professionally, and then we also had screenwriters coming in and giving their input. And at one point, someone said, who is actually a former instructor of Ingo and myself, we have some remarkable here. Who is otherwise a great skeptic. So that's when we realized, okay, yeah, we have the TV show. It has legs.
Did the impact of what's happened since, like, Caitlyn Jenner and then Laverne Cox on Orange is New Black, or even shows like Sense8, or I know there was a character in the OA even, has that helped and opened things up for you?
Has it opened things up? It's definitely brought the issue of trans representation to the fore in terms of at least some of the media discussion. And it's good. What I'm still wanting to see a lot more of is, I guess you could say, really deeply well-informed but at the same time whimsical and strange trans representation that the trans still being portrayed like any other character. Main characters, supporting characters, where they're being trans informs who they are, but it's not their defining characteristic. And I'm hoping that can be the next leg of the conversation in terms of progress toward equality and culture.
I'm calling you from Dallas, Texas, which has been a very progressive city, but in a very unprogressive state on this subject matter in particular. I'd love to kind of switch from, you know, the positives of those shows to kind of the negatives on the political side, and you guys touch upon it so well in the show with humor. Can you talk about maybe the step back that we've seen politically and in our culture, even maybe about acceptance? I mean, it seems like as the Hollywood and, you know, web series and take, you know, advantage of taking a step forward, everyone else seems to be taking a step back.
Well, right now in the cultural war, transgender rights and thus transgender people are kind of a political football. We are a thing that gets thrown around in order to show where people stand on the issues. And while there's a lot of people out there fighting for their rights, we're also the denial of transgender equality and the ability to participate in and contribute to society is being used as proof positive that someone is a real hardliner on whatever health issue that they're trying to put through. So when someone, I feel trying to cover up, they're not really representing the interests of most Americans, right-wing or left-wing, rural or urban, they go, oh, hey, we're protecting you from trans people, vote for us. And it's opportunistic and sad. I think a lot of people, especially a lot of younger people, can see through that and realize that trans rights are not only not a threat, but an equal society is something that's better for everybody. One of the wonderful things about media and seeing characters and empathizing with characters is that it diffuses some of the fear that people are playing on. And so when someone says, I'm going to go out there and protect you from trans people getting their rights, people are more likely to go, well, what? That doesn't make any sense. They're just regular people trying to be able to, you know, go to work, go to school, and use the washing while they're there.
How important was it then to showcase everyday life for these characters? I mean, I think that's one of the best elements of the show. I mean, I love all the craziness, like with the date episode in episode 5, but I also love that there's simple things that are going on that showcase that there, you know, there is no difference between transgender and a regular person. It just, you know, other than the, maybe the physicality.
Well, I think that's a real untapped place in media and fiction, and especially television, because of how television gets made. Is there's this breadth of humanity, breadth of American experiences, breadth of Canadian experiences, that when you can say, oh, hey, whatever group is not being represented on television, whether that's transgender people or people of color or people with disabilities or LGBT people, and, oh, this is just part of what conforms a larger life, and there's this richness that opens up in front of us. We get better entertainment, and we also learn more about how we all make up a society. And in the switch, we were able to just make being trans part of the story. And yeah, most of the characters are transgender, but there's also a side plot about a fascinating oil lobbyist for carbon offsets and people just looking for work and trying to date. And then there's this complicating factor that constantly gets thrown in there. And you don't need to make up weird stuff like, oh, and so-and-so is also a vampire and this complicates things, or they're really a time traveler. You realize there's all this incredible drama and all these stories happening all around us all the time. And I'm really glad that we could show that.
Speaking of showing that, can you talk about the way you guys have been able to bring this? I mean, I know it's online right now, but you guys are going to expand even more to other platforms. Can you talk about being able to showcase this to more and more people?
Yeah, well, we're coming out on iTunes and Amazon on August 15th. It looks like we're doing Google Play on September 1st. Oh, and we should be doing YouTube Red soon. And with digital media, there's this amazing change in being able to reach people, which also makes it possible to make shows like this in the first place, because you don't need to wait for permission from a TV broadcaster to slot you in between I Dream of Jeannie reruns. we can, as media creators, distribute something anywhere that there's a free internet. And what that allows is people get to pick what they want to watch now. And what we're seeing right now with subscription services is people want good television, they want it to be well-written, and they also want it to be diverse. And we are providing that to people in new and interesting ways. And one of the other wonderful things about the changes in how we can deliver things is that you don't need to try and get 4 million people to watch your show during Sweet Sweeps or the failure. Sweet Week or the failure. You just need 100,000 people or so to watch your first season. And if you can do that, you can make more of it. It's really extraordinary because there aren't as many middlemen or advertisers getting their fingers in everything.
I've got to ask, can you talk about finding the cast and getting people like Nyla and Vincent? Because, I mean, these characters are so vibrant, and I kind of fell in love with each one individually. I really was amazed at that.
Well, ever since I came up with the idea for the show, we were saying we're going to be putting trans people in trans roles, and especially when we started doing this. Actually, even a couple of years into the process, when you go around talking to like local activists, you're like, hey, do you know any like good trans performers? People would look at us like we've claimed that we landed from the moon, saying, this is ridiculous, you can't pull this off. We had so many people encourage us just to cast this people. But we wanted to move as possible. We just wanted, if we're telling a show about the experience and struggles of a marginalized group, we want to make sure that we are hiring people from that group, not just as actors, but also people on our production team, people in our crew. And so what we did is we tried to hire people the way you'd hire people for any other job. Typically what happens with casting is they go and put up what's called a breakdown on a service that only people with agents can get access to. And the agents have to be going through it every day. Because if they miss something, they'll only be given like 3 days of notice. And we were realizing, hey, you know, people have jobs, some people don't have agents, even though they're amazing actors, because agents are loath to pick up people who are probably less castable. Not because of their skills, just because there's traditionally been less of a demand for people who look a particular way. And by look a particular way, I mean like the vast majority of the population are considered to be less castable for one reason or another. So we got it out on social media, and we had open auditions, and we got, like, just for Sue, we had over 100 applications. We had over 70 people audition for Sue, all sorts of trans actors from all over, and we went through a few stages of that. Here in Vancouver, we created a program called React, which was for anyone with a barrier to castability. That's like trans people, but also like women over 30, people of color, people with accents, people with disabilities, anyone with facial scars, like pretty much like almost anybody can be in this program. And also people trans who drop in who didn't belong to this demographic either, and that was cool. And we just gave people a really strong foundational training program in tickle magic. And what we got out of it from people who had maybe gone to film school or they'd taken some theater courses, we got network quality performances out of people just by looking. And so when I see like Oscar-based films claim they couldn't find someone, I'm just going, oh yeah, well, next time be sure that you should look. Because we did ours on a micro budget where we could only afford two plays, and we cast an entire sitcom.
You know, I noticed on The Walking Dead like an influence of the crossbow, but you seem to be bringing back the crossbow as well. Where did that come from? And tell me a bit about the fun physical stuff. I mean, there's awesome fighting going on in this show.
Okay, well, the Magnum crossbow is a 120-pound raw fiberglass compound bow that I'm looking at right now that came with a camo pattern. I painted it without using a primer, so that way the paint would wear off and it would look all chip. But yeah, there was lots of great physicality to get into this. Like, first of all, I had to be able to actually load a 120-pound draw crossbow, which is harder than it sounds. We also, I went to study stage fighting. I learned some stage fighting under Natanya, who plays the Red Team captain in episode 4. We had Lee Tavney and Kim Jiang come by to teach our this gigantic, ongoing mob brawl that goes throughout the episode. I still can't believe we pulled that off. They also helped us choreograph the fight in the restaurant. And then for things that are a little less choreographed, Nyla, who is a professional wrestler, would occasionally say, okay, I just need the crew, can you just move the camera back? And she wouldn't say why. And then she'd like run and fall over a table. And I think they end to episode 3 or 4, episode 4, where you can hear that thump. That's not a sound effect. Nyla just did that. Just to get the sound right. She, like, face planted on the ground, and when she did the face plant for episode 6, when she's hallucinating that she's in Mario Brothers, that was also unplanned.
That's wild.
Pineapple was also a total surprise. She just hucked that thing at me, which is why I look surprised and slightly happy that I didn't break a rib.
So one thing I've been reading a lot of the comments on the episodes, but also just in forums about, because I just want to see what people's response has been. It's been amazingly positive, and a lot of people have talked about being excited for this show, not just as it's a fun show and it's showing a lot, but that it's a coming out story, very much so in a traditional sense. Can you talk about the responses you've gotten and that have hit you personally that you felt make you feel like the switch is something that's, you're glad that you've been able to do this?
Yeah, the fan community response has been really something. My favorite thing to see is actually when I get to overhear social media chatter where someone's saying, oh my god, I just watched the show, and they're tagging their friends saying, you need to see this. You would totally completely relate to this. we've had that response. We've had people send us, you know, just someone last weekend sent me a very heartful letter talking about his experiences as a young theater actor in L.A. And people will occasionally realize who we are when we show up at Pride events and go, oh my God, I've heard about that show, I've seen it. So there's this combination of recognition and people also feeling recognized. And I think it's really remarkable what happens when people are able to experience stories that make them feel like themselves or their community are real, or to feel like communities they don't know about are real, and to experience this entirely new part of the world, which is also very, very, very full and alive and unfabricated. So all the responses have been very, very positive. I mean, the weird thing is, every negative comment we've had seems to be from someone who hasn't watched the show. No one said, I've watched the show and I hated it yet, which is, I think, probably some kind of a television record.
I've got to ask, since you play so many, or you have so many hats in this show, from, you know, obviously writer, creator, to one of the characters, how have you grown from the different hats you've had to wear to bring Switch out, as not only as a writer, but as an actor?
I heard a quote about this from someone else, where they say, I'm poorer in money, but richer in friends. it's been that kind of an experience of trading a certain amount of security in my life for an amazing amount of community. I got to see Brent Butt, who is this guy behind this Canadian TV show called Corner Gas Interview, where he writes, produces, and acts. And he said that the key is to make sure you have a wonderful team around you. And I have. And so that team that I get to work with has also become my community, my friends. Ingo Liu, our producer, has been carrying this project for years. Ren, the lead writer, and Siobhan, one of the other writers on the team, have both made this thing possible and done the extra mile, and been working with the other cast. Just been this great experience of, you can see why people in cast bond so much. When a show is healthy, like a healthy emotional environment.
Well, I've got to ask, have you guys jumped to creating other projects? I mean, has this opened the floodgates to ideas for the team?
Oh, it sure has. Let's see. We recently got flown to Japan to watch the debut screening of a movie we made called Floating Away, which was this traditional Japanese narrative but shot set in Vancouver. We made a film noir called The Iron Stick. We got to do some work for a Time Warner affiliate called La Quinceanera, which should be coming out soon. What else we got to do? We got to do some content for Bravo, which is a historical piece. And now we're working on a show called Synthesis, which is an optimistic, space-faring science fiction series talking about the conflicts and harmonies between different ideas of utopia. And it's also ridiculous and wonderful.
Well, I've got to ask, on as you being a writer, do you mind if I ask what you read and what you've been reading? What has caught your eye as far as things that inspire you in the books or TV shows that you enjoy just, you know, watching and reading?
One thing I actually like reading is script. Over the last 2 years, there's been this explosion in the number of scripts and even series Bibles available online. And I will go out and read a script, and then I'll be talking about the movie with someone later. And occasionally they'll get this weird look on their face like, well, how do you not remember who played the role? And I'm like, oh, well, sorry, I just read it, this movie. It's it's a really great way of experiencing it. But as far as like what I like to watch, I absolutely love Killjoys, which is this really like socially interesting, very diverse science fiction series that's made in Toronto. I really like watching Legion a lot. I love Steven Universe. I like these shows that are interested in taking risks, but also take themselves too seriously at the same time. As far as books go, I love anything like, got like transhumanist science fiction games in it. I was reading Alistair Reynolds recently. I also read Heist, any kind of crime stuff. So I was reading 60 Crows, which I absolutely adored. I like stuff that's fun and weird and really, really well thought out, but doesn't get bogged down in its own world building.
Very cool. Well, Amy, I really appreciate the time. I was blown away by the show, and I can't wait to see what you guys are doing next. And once again, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you very much for that.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.